At the London 2012 Paralympics, judo hopeful Jack Hodgson was in the crowd watching visually impaired athletes take to the mat. For someone who had relatively recently been told by doctors that he wouldn't be able to do sport due to the progressive loss of his eyesight, those 2012 games meant a lot. Fast forward to now, and Hodgson is a British Paralympian, having competed out in Rio in 2016 himself, and he's now gearing up for the IBSA Judo World Championships, which begin on November the 16th out in Odivelas in Portugal. However, the lead up to these championships have been far from smooth for Hodgson after he underwent elbow surgery a couple of months ago. In his words, he shouldn't really be going, but British Judo have maintained their faith in one of their more experienced athletes. A severe injury such as that is something that's very hard to cope with when you have to watch everyone else getting on the mat and you are unable to train in the way you'd like to. It hit Hodgson harder than he thought it would. But in the short term and the long term, he is driven by one determined thought: to beat anyone and everyone he faces on the mat. Jack, it is a very warm welcome to the podcast. Obviously, it's been a very busy day down here in Walsall with media requests left, right and centre. But first off, how are you doing on this busy, busy day?
I'm not too bad. Quite enjoying it, actually. Yeah, there's a lot of guys, BBC, the BJA, the university. You know, quite a few people interested in talking to you. I'm not sure why, but there we are.
Well, let's find out why we're all interested in talking to you, I suppose. So obviously we're all here, as I've mentioned before, because you've been picked as part of the British team for the IBSA 2018 World Judo Championship, which takes place in Portugal from the 16th to the 18th of November. What does that mean to you, as someone who's been to a Paralympics before, to get called up to a championship like that?
Oh, well, it's nice to see that you still have faith in me, I suppose. But I mean, it does actually mean a lot to me, because I shouldn't really be going. I had an operation a couple of months ago, so my injury time realistically was 6 months, and you know, it's only been 3 months down the line now. So to actually get the call up to be, you know, you can go, it means a lot.
What was the injury?
I had a surgery on my elbow, pretty much complete reconstructure. Grade 3, tore everything.
Which strikes me as quite important to have that working if you want to do judo properly.
Yeah, it does. But I mean, we've got some fantastic medical team, and you know, support team and the coaching staff here have done everything they can. And myself, we've all done everything that we can to make sure that it's in maybe not quite tip-top shape, but good enough shape.
Exactly. So what does that mean to you then, that they've, despite the injury problems, they've stuck by you and that they believe in your ability?
Yeah. That's what I mean. That's what I was trying to say. Like, it's really great to show they still have that faith, and they go, you know what, he is still our best chance at going. We still believe that he can go and get a medal, because everyone's going out for a medal. No one goes out just to step on the mat. Mm-hmm. So the fact they show that they still think I can get a medal, that means that's good.
And obviously the date today is the 24th of October, so we've got less than a month until the World Championship starts.
Less than a month.
How is preparation going for it, away from the injury side?
Preparation is interesting, because it's the first time I've ever had to prepare for a competition injured. So I can't do the training on the mat the same as the other guys would. So I did my first proper session yesterday. So less than a month out from the World Championships. And before that, I've not really done any judo in like 4 months.
Yeah.
So it's not, but off the mat, that's when I can do different types of preparation, like my gym, you know, my diet, my nutrition, the psychology side of things, the physio side of things. That's all been top jaw. Mm-hmm. With all that stuff, we've been able to push it a lot further than we'd normally be able to, because the time constraints. So that's all been good.
Exactly. I mean, you talk to other people who in different sports who may have had injuries like that. Is there a little bit of, I don't know, do you feel a little bit left out that you can't take part in the normal type of training?
It is really mentally hard for me, especially because, you know, all the guys are going away. They went to Kazakhstan for a week, Japan for 2 weeks, so I've almost been left by myself at the centre for 3 weeks, and it is a mentally tough time. You've got to push yourself through it without really having anyone to go, come on, because we are quite we are a team that encourages each other. We all train together, we all live together pretty much. I mean, Scout got a house together. So a lot of the time we spent together. So just taking all that away all of a sudden, it hit me harder than I thought it would.
Mm-hmm.
I struggled more to keep going and to get out of bed in the morning than I would. So I am really grateful for having the team around the rest of the year.
Yeah. How is it now then? Because I presume then, if it hit you harder than you thought it would, do you think you've maybe come out a little bit stronger now that you're on the mend?
Yeah, I think so. I've come back on the mat a lot more. Trying to think of the right word for it.
I'd say determined is
yeah,
what
determined,
I would think.
Yeah, yeah. I've got more fight in me. I come on the mat and I just want to scrap with people. I just want to fight. I've not been able to fight for like 4 months, and that is my job. So I love it. Mm-hmm. I love having a scrap. So you come on here and you really, and you know, I feel stronger. But that, the whole time I was injured, that's what I was saying in my head. I want to come back like a harder fighter. I want to come back stronger. Everyone says that, but I really wanted to. So, you know, just in the past few weeks, you know, I've been doing judo again. I can feel that I'm gripping stronger. I'm being a bit more of a bully on the mat, which is what, you know, me and my coach have spoke about.
Exactly. So we'll turn back the clock a little bit and look at essentially how you got into the sport in the first place. Because I think I'm right in saying that you grew up on an RAF base,
yes,
if that is true. And you basically had a choice of judo and ballet,
yes,
to pick from. Why judo for you?
Well, I imagine your viewers can't see what I look like, but I'm a big dude. I weigh 140 kilos. Ballet was not the sport for me. But no, basically there was them two clubs. And there was nothing else to do in Northern Ireland on an RAF base. I had a young child. So wherever I went to that club, and everywhere that I moved there on, there just seemed to be, always be a judo club nearby. So we just kept going there, kept making pals, and I started doing all right for myself. I started winning a few competitions at, you know, mainstream events. Got into like the mainstream English team, did a few international events, competed for Great Britain as a 12, 13-year-old. And then when I started losing my eyesight, we just sort of naturally progressed onto the visually impaired team.
Mm-hmm. What is it actually like then growing up on an RAF base? Because I always imagine them as like tiny little communities in a town somewhere. Because you've got, I presume you have a little shop here and there, and then everyone
sort of knows
each other.
You normally have one shop, like a spa, or I think it was called a NAFI in Germany. It stands for like Navy, Army, Air Force, something mm-hmm. like that. So you have one little shop, it's normally a pub or something. And like you said, it's just a small community, all the guys, we all know each other. You walk down the street and you know that guy is your dad's pal in the army, but there's not a lot of kids around. The majority of the kids at the school you go to are army kids, so you don't really get away from it. But it was a good area to grow up in. It teaches you respect. It teaches you, you know, you know what I mean. Like, it teaches you how to be a proper adult and all that. So it's a great, isn't it? It was a nice area to grow mm-hmm. up in.
And you briefly alluded to there is when you start losing your sight.
Mm-hmm.
How important was having judo as something to fall back on to help you cope with that?
Well, at the time, I never, like, in my wildest dreams imagined that I would be doing judo full-time. It wasn't something that I planned to do.
Well, did you think it might stop you from doing all sorts of sports?
Kind of. I mean, so when I went to the doctors originally, the doctor said to me, oh, you can't ride your bike anymore, you can't do judo, you can't go running anymore, or anything like that. So that kind of hit me hard, and I was a bit down for a while. But you know, when you realise, I went to the 2012 games and they had the Paralympic judo there, I was like, these guys are doing it and they're visually impaired, so why can't I? So that kind of just spurred that on, and from them onwards I went with Ian, the coach, our coach now, and he actually got employed here. So it was like, oh well, we kind of knew each other before, so it was just natural that we were going to bring each other in the team. So it all worked out in the end.
That's quite an interesting one, because you're one of quite a few guests we've had on now who've looked back at those 2012 games in London, and that's been the trigger for them to suddenly take their sport up to the next level. Was that easy for you to kind of go, hang on, I want to be these guys on
the
mat?
At 2012 we're on something called the Paralympic Inspiration Programme, which I don't know if you've heard of before, but mm-hmm. basically the Paralympic guys are bringing a bunch of people who potentially could go in the future, but they might not, but they might progress into it, because I was quite good in my sport and I was losing my eyesight, so that, like, two and two together, he might be all right. So that they took us on that, and they showed us around the village, they took us to the events. That was obviously the first time I've really watched or even experienced the games. I mean, most Olympians say as a kid they watched it, but I didn't really watch it. Wasn't something I was that interested in, but then when I saw it all at 2012, you're right, something triggered and you're like, this could be all right, I could do this. this looks like it could be fun.
Exactly. So then once that moment happens then,
yeah.
How is it a case of coming up to here and getting an opportunity here at the Judo Centre of Excellence?
This Judo Centre is about 4 years old now. Maybe 5 years old. I've lived here for four years. But before that, it was all over the country. There was a centre down in Dartford, which is a long, long way from where I was. But we used to travel down maybe once a month because, you know, parents working, school commitments and all that. But, no, you are right now. It's a case of just get yourself down here if you do it, and it's the best place to do judo in the country, hands down.
Exactly, yeah. Does judo bring the best out of you?
Judo brings the best and worst out in anyone. It's a fighting sport, so you brings out that aggression, that anger, your arousal levels go through the roof, so you really, it brings out it all, and it makes you so emotional when you can't do something frustrated. And there's been some moments where, you know, you see people storm off the mat, you've been sent off the mat, everyone's been sent off the mat once or twice, or just for that. But then also at the same time, the flip side of that, it brings out the humility in each other, it brings out the friendship. And, you know, when me and Scale walk home after absolutely battering each other all night, you feel closer than ever, because you're just like, that was a good session, you fought well tonight. And it's a strange one to say that fighting brings you together, but it does. It does bring out the best and worst in everyone.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I mentioned myself briefly, I did fencing when I was younger, and it's the same kind of thing where you end up spending most of the training session trying to hit each other,
yeah,
exactly. And damage each other, but then you will go home and be friends afterwards.
You'll come out with a handshake and a bow. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, exactly. Following the 2012 Paralympics, and then you made your Paralympic debut in 2016 at Rio. First off, how much work went into that? Because did you ever imagine that you'd be at the next one when you were there in 2012?
Absolutely not. After 2012, I started doing judo a lot more. I moved to my new club, which is, not my club now, but I still affiliate with the club. It's Grimsby Judo Club Grimsby, obviously, but... So I moved down there, and that is probably the top-notch club to train in if you're in Lincolnshire area. So I moved down there, and that just raises your level up a step. And then knowing Johnsy from Scunthorpe, I'm from Gainsborough, only about 20 minutes apart. So to knowing him, he kind of was breathing down my shoulder the whole time, like, come on, you've got to do it. I mean, it wasn't until about 2014, early 2015, I was like, I'm actually doing all right. I'm on the ranking list. I was about fifth or sixth at the time. I've won a few fights, I've got a couple of medals. And he went, we had that sit down, he went, Jack, you could actually go to the games, you're in a qualifying spot. And then I actually finished third in the world that year for my first cycle, so that was beyond anything I expected or probably anyone expected of me.
A lot of the time we often focus on the individual, but there's always a team, be it coaches, be it family, there in the background.
Yeah, well, without them, I'd genuinely say I would not be here. I know it's a really cliche thing to say, but I am inherently quite lazy, so I do need a kick up the bum quite a few times.
When you go out to then Brazil for the Paralympics, was it everything you expected, or was it totally different?
The thing is, we have quite a lot of recon trips, so we going up to the games, and the same will be to Tokyo. We went out to Rio and Brazil. We must have gone out about 10 times. So by the time you actually get to the games, there's nothing new. It's not the sparkling lights and. It's not the same as you always imagine, but you're quite used to it by the time you get out there. But when you actually get there and it hits you, I'm at the games. I've actually made it to the games. This is what all the work's been for. There is a moment where the whole team just looks at each other in a bit of disbelief, and the coach goes, right, stop it, go to bed.
It's time for action.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Go to bed, wake up the next day. And then after that, once it's all over, then you can have your fun and go and experience the massive food hall and stuff like that.
Exactly. In terms of performance, I think memory serves me right in that you just missed out on a bronze medal match at the games.
I lost what's called a repercharge fight. So I lost my first fight against Japanese Masaki, who I've since beat. But I lost him at the games, and then I won my second, and then the third fight, probably the best fight, one of my best fights of my career, against an old Olympic champion, Paralympic champion. We went to the full time, and it was just one shido in it, and that makes all the difference in a sport like judo at the time.
Yeah. Did it make you hungry for more?
I'm always hungry, but yeah, it did make me hungry for more, definitely. I want to go out and just beat him. I want to beat everyone.
Is that now kind of the goal, is just to beat everyone who stands in front of you?
If you stand in front of me on the mat, I want to beat you. That's mm-hmm. the end. That's the goal of it. No one goes out there going, oh, I'd like to beat you, but I'm not too bothered. I mean, you want to win.
Mm-hmm. We focus on that a little bit on this podcast because mental determination obviously comes a lot easier to some people than it does to others. You know, in terms of the work you have to put in, yeah. and the training you have to put in, sometimes it's a lot easier just to stare at the cake in the fridge and eat the cake rather than go.
I'm a heavyweight, so the cake naturally draws to me.
Exactly. Is it easy to stay on top of everything and try and keep determined when you might be feeling knackered and you don't want to actually, you know, have to pull yourself up?
No, I don't think it is actually. Obviously, it is a bit, but I'm not convinced it is a trait that you inherently have. I think it's something you've got to train and be.
You can learn
and you've got to. Yeah, you can learn it definitely. I know from experience. I go through stages when I'm on it. I'm hot on it, and I'll do everything. I go through another month. I look back at that month and go, why? Why did I make that decision? You know, to do one rep less than I should have done. Why did I say that I did five when I only did four reps? And you think, I regret doing that. So you've got, everyone does that. Everyone makes a mistake. You've really got to just remember, just do it. Just at the time, it might be hard work, but it'll all be worth it. No one has trained as hard as you if you do everything.
Exactly. This is something that Evan alluded to while I was talking to him. And the fact that you get to train with the Olympic judo representatives as well, does that really bring the best out of every single one of you?
I think it brings out the best in us, because we get to fight with top notch fighters. You know, the Paralympics is great, but the Paralympics is quite a small community within Britain, so most of the Paralympic fighters are here at the centre. There's not a lot, you know, it's not many of them out there, so if we couldn't do that, we'd be nowhere near as good as a team as we could do. And it also brings out the best in the Olympic team. They get to look at the Paralympic team and think, these guys can't see, they can't hear, and yet they're just coming out here and fighting and doing what they do. So I'd like to think that we inspire them as much as they inspire us.
Looking ahead now, back to the World Championships next month, what happens between now and you actually getting out there in terms of training?
In terms of training, I've just got to get on the match as much as my injury allows me to. If I can get on every day, I'd like to do that. If I can't, I'll be down in the gym instead, doing some extra sessions. It's just all go from now. We're not in a position where we can slack off for last month. We've got to go.
Yeah, and bearing in mind what's happened to you recently, have you set yourself any kind of target for the World Championships, or is it a case of just seeing how it goes?
There's not much pressure on me, put it that way. There's not much pressure on me. I've always got an individual target in my head. I always want the medal. Mm-hmm. I'm probably harder on myself than anyone is on me, so If I don't get the medal, I'll be a bit upset. But at the end of the day, just being on the world is a massive privilege to me. And, you know, like I said, just for them to show the faith in me to put me on that stage is a massive honour.
Yeah, and you say there's no pressure on you. Are you someone who usually puts pressure on yourself?
I put a lot of pressure on myself. I always try to make myself do more than I should be able to. I always want to beat the guy that I shouldn't be able to beat. I think that's both a positive and negative attribute, because it means that I always strive for more success, but then at the same time I'm always a lot harder on myself than I should be. Mm-hmm. So it's a bit of a two-sided sword.
Yeah, exactly. And long-term goals, I imagine 2020 must be there in the forefront of your mind.
Yeah, I'd be absolutely looking forward to it. I want to be there more than anything, so I hope I'll be there. That's all I can say.
Mm-hmm. What do you think then, be it training, be it your mental frame of mind, what do you think you learnt from going to something like the Paralympics in 2016?
You come away from the Paralympics. Well, I came away from the Paralympics feeling happy, but with a tinge of regret, because obviously I lost. I didn't do as well as I thought. You know, I was smiling, but at the same time, I had a couple of tears down my face. So it was a weird emotion for me. I didn't really know how to respond to it. But I came away from it thinking, I need to do that again. You know, you learn that you just want to do it again and again and again. Mm-hmm. And hopefully one day come away with a nice shiny gold.
And we hope that day comes true as well. For anyone who might be thinking, this is kind of your opportunity to sell your sport a little bit. Yeah. For anyone, you know, who might be looking for a sport to, whether it's mental struggles or whatever, as a stress release, why is judo, or sport in general, such a good avenue to go down?
Well, it's there's so much research out there that shows that sport is the way to go if you're, well, pretty much cures so much. But judo especially, you just, if you want to scrap with someone, come do judo. If you don't want to scrap with someone, you just want to learn technique, come do judo. You know what I mean? I've been to the adaptive knees competition recently as a special guest, and it was really eye-opening to see. Like, we think we have it hard sometimes as a Paralympic team. There's guys there with one leg. There's guys there doing judo who, you know, have Down syndrome or severe learning disabilities. And you're like, these guys can do it, so why can't, you know, Joe Bloggs off the street who is thinking, oh, should I do sport? And those guys are so inspirational. They make you want to get out of bed. I'm a Paralympian. I see those guys just doing what they do, going through the struggle they've gone through, and think, "Jesus, I can do more."
Exactly. But then you look at those guys and seeing what they can do. But then there's probably people looking at you.
They probably look at us, and I'm sure people, and we all look at each other. But that's what sport does. It brings everyone together. It doesn't matter if you've got a severe learning disability or you can't see very well or you're an Olympic champion. Everyone gets treated with the same respect when you walk through a dojo. Everyone bows on the same mat towards the same coaches. And when you're fighting each other, you shake hands, you bow to each other again, you don't say well done.
Yeah, it's all about that respect, isn't it?
Exactly. That's what judo teaches everyone so well.
Exactly. And that's a perfect way to bring this interview to a close. And thank you so much again for coming onto the podcast and obviously telling us all about your own story. And we wish you very well once the World Championships come around, as well as the recovery from the injury as well. Because that's not a nice thing to have to go through. No. But thank you so much.
Cheers. Thanks for having us.
Thank you for listening to this latest judo special. You can subscribe to Sportspiel on podcast platforms everywhere and find out more about us on our website, sportspielonline.com. You can listen back to our last special ahead of the IBSA World Judo Championships with Evan Malloy. And don't forget to follow us on social media. We are on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram, and all of our handles are sportspielpod. Myself and Will are going to be back with our next full-length episode, that will be episode 31, in a week's time on November the 18th. Details of who our sporting guest will be will follow in due course, but until next time, listeners, thank you for tuning in, and we will see you very soon.